All Canada. It's the news, according to me. Well, a fine, happy Monday morning to you. It's still Monday, and it's still Monday morning. It's not a Monday morning. It's just a Monday morning. It is 10:49 a.m., February 7th, 2022. And that's the way it was. Just like that. Oh, the things that are happening today. Thanks for being with me this morning. It is, thanks for listening. It's been quite the news cycle. It's just so sporadic and so crazy. Everything from rumors of wars to children disobeying and being rebellious against their parents. Parents being abusive to their kids. It's just it's a free-for-all. It's a frolicking utopia that we're creating here. That's what the left would have you believe. And the only reason it's not a utopia is because those right-wing racists, those radical right-wing people, like Joe Rogan. I have a prediction. Joe Rogan is not a right-wing guy, by the way. He is a lefty. He's a free-thinking lefty, much like... there's some other people that I appreciate those kinds of people. You can have a discussion with them. Much like, Jimmy, what's the guy's name? Jimmy Dore. I've mentioned his name before. On some issues, we totally agree. Now, he believes in liberty. He believes in individual, that government overreach, those kinds of things, that the government shouldn't be able to stifle our free speech, our ability to live a life of independence as individuals. However, he's big on the healthcare thing. And on this we disagree, but in a huge way. The things, people who are traditional Democrats, who believe in, they're big government Democrats, not socialist left-wing Marxist Democrats, which is what the party's becoming. But just your traditional, more of a JFK Democrat. I hate to bring him up because he had some issues. People kind of forget how he was. But in comparison to the way the Democrats are today, he would be a Republican. Probably too far right for most establishment Republicans. And so here we have Joe Rogan. And actually even some people like Bill Maher and some others on the left have come out recently kind of calling out the leftist radicals. Now, the other day, I don't know if you noticed, I was watching clips of Morning Joe with his wife is on the show. What's her name? Mika, whatever her name is. That's his wife, by the way. As far as I know, I think they're still married. I don't know. She was supposedly a Democrat. He was supposed to be the Republican on the panel there. And He denounced Republicanism, I think, prior to Trump or right around that time. There's a whole lot of lines started being drawn when Trump came on the scene and won the Republican nomination. You see, this is how out of touch people are. The Republican establishment thinks they're going to define the Republican Party. Well, it's the only other choice we have. They think that because they get voted in at all, they've kind of been the anti-candidate, the only candidate we have to really fight back on a real scale. Oh, sure, there's other, there's the Constitutional Party, there's the Libertarian Party. I consider myself a conservative libertarian, but not, I don't identify, I identify about as much with the Libertarian Party as I do with the establishment Republican Party. because there are some serious issues in the Libertarian Party that I have a hard time with, which is ironic because the Republican Party, as the official Republican or the official Libertarian Party, I should say, actually has some weird bent, messed up ideas. Again, it's too radical, and I don't think they realize. I've thought about actually getting. I've actually been asked to get involved with the Libertarian Party here in this area. Now, the Libertarian Party, a third party of any kind in our particular system and the way it's structured, has a very difficult time winning anything. I think right now is probably one of the best opportunities they have to try to make a serious run for anything. But in my opinion, I think there are a lot of independents out there that are ready for something other than just Republican and Democrat, because they see the Democrats going off the rails on the left. They're gotten way too radical. And they, at least anybody who's educated enough to watch television in the legacy media with any kind of critical thinking. If all you're doing is going through your day and listening to hip hop music and listening to the top 10, keeping your earbuds in and just cranking the music and playing video games. If that's what you're doing all day long, and then you listen, you take that off long enough to hear a 30-second soundbite on the radio, or on your record player or your phonograph, your 8-track. I'm not sure what Joe's talking about these days. And then you just stick your pods back in and you keep on going. You're exactly the person that the leftist radicals want. That's exactly who they want. Because they can just feed you with a little bit of words, a few words here and there, give you a good sound bite, and you go on about your day. And then when you go to vote, you just think, well, I heard that on the news. Republicans are all racist, and all white people are racist, and I need to vote Democrat because I'll lose my benefits. That is actually that's actually what they say. I've actually heard Democrats say that to people with my own ears. I've heard them say that. In fact, this person was saying, "Well, you can't vote for the Republicans. They'll take your benefits away." It was a single mother. Had a teenage daughter. And that was her reason for why she needed to vote Democrat. Now, first of all, the Republican establishment does not have the guts to start trimming back entitlements. And the Democrats know that. The whole Build Back Better bill with all the trillions of dollars, the big, huge, omnibus, they call it omnibus bill. It's bigger than that. I don't know. There's always an omnibus bill. There's been an omnibus bill ever since. Actually, Reagan started this. But he actually had a reason for doing it. And then Clinton was the one who came in with $700 million bill, I think it was. Stimulus package when he first got into office. We need a stimulus package. And they're always talking about roads. You know, I didn't even mention this. I think I missed out on I think it was a speech that was done on a Friday. I didn't do a show about this. Jojo, the former vice president, Sleepy Joe, the guy who is formerly in the, currently somewhere around the White House there. Apparently not ever in the Oval Office, but he has his own little office set up across the street because they're in a building where they don't have to document people coming and going. I don't know if you realize that or not. Anybody who comes into the White House, to the Oval Office, to meet with the president, they all have to be registered, have to have clearance. There's all kinds of documents. You can get all kinds of information on who visited with the president. In the case of this little building they've got across the street where they do all this phony, you got this little, like, it's like a little, I don't know, it looks like a little desk you'd pick up at Dollar General, where he sits in this little bitty desk. Literally, it looks like a school desk. And he's sitting there and he's making these speeches and stuff. And they'll have snow outside the window, which the window is not proportional or at the right direction with the camera at all. And he's sitting there and he's making these little talks and doing these little interviews with people, having these little ceremonies all the time. They're conducting all their business over there. I don't know what the deal is. So it's kind of their own little personal production house. But the other day he went to, was it Pittsburgh? Was it someplace in Pennsylvania? I think it was Pittsburgh. Or was it Philly? I don't remember. I think it was Pittsburgh. 2 hours. How convenient. You know what I've said about theater? Theater and the theater of the political theater that happens all the time. Personally, I have a feeling that this was not just a coincidence. That a bridge collapsed 2 hours prior to the president making a speech in a city about infrastructure, roads and bridges. Now, if you think, now, interestingly enough, this bridge collapsed and a city bus was on it, apparently. Now, my understanding is the city bus was empty. I'm trying to wrap my head around this. A city bus sitting on a ridge, on a bridge that was apparently empty. Now it wasn't a real high bridge. The bus was fine. Maybe there was people on it. They just walked off maybe because it wasn't that big of a deal. I don't know. My understanding was there was nobody involved in the bridge collapse, which just seems ironic to me. It just seems ironic. Does it seem ironic? I don't know. I don't know how to spell ironic, but I can use the word, I guess, today. And I'm not even sure what it means. But I'm going to use it anyway because it makes me sound big. So it's, I'm getting bigger every day. Every day I get bigger around. I'm in shape. It's a round is a shape, I'm pretty sure. Actually, I've actually been trying to exercise again. I'm back on a routine exercise regimen. I do my cardio in the morning, and I do my weights, some weight resistance training of some sort, typically in the afternoons. Seems to be working out okay. I'm not in terrible pain. Haven't injured anything. That's at my age. That's mostly what I'm concerned about. Being able to get my heart rate up there without passing out or having any weird pain. And then also being able to lift something heavier than a pencil for, about 5 minutes. That's always a plus. So I'm working on that. So if I come in here one day with a cast on, you won't know it because it's an audio. I don't know if you realize that. You can't see me right now. Now, if I do it on Rumble, I have to say, the live broadcast on Rumble, I was seriously considering the investment into a little software program called Wirecast because it works on iOS systems. And I was seriously thinking about this, and it's a little more expensive now than it used to be, I've noticed, just for the basic version. And I really only need the basic version. I don't do a lot of production stuff. If I do something that's heavy production, I would use my vMix, and I have that in my studio, the world headquarters. I'm at my home studio right now, this morning. It's one of those rare instances on a Monday when I'm actually home. I think I may be home most of this week. I'm not sure how this is going to work out. I may have to travel Wednesday, Thursday. I don't know yet. And I probably won't know until later today. So right now I don't know. And so now you don't know until I know. Unless you know something I don't know, which you could, because that happens quite often, I have to admit. In fact, I'm checking my schedule right now as I speak, and it looks like that The Wednesday trip is still undetermined. I have no idea what's going to happen here. So I just do whatever they tell me. Or I don't. I don't really care. They can tell me to do something. I don't necessarily have to do it. I can just walk away and say, oh, nah, I don't think so. Yeah. Yeah. Kind of at that stage in life. Just really don't need to put up with that. So, speaking of that stage in life, we're talking about the political stage. Boy, there's nothing there. There's one thing there. I might have one thing to do on Thursday. I might have to do that. Kind of crazy. Oh, you know what? No, that's actually a good sign right there. That looks like maybe. Yeah, that looks like something that might be a possibility there. I'll have to take another look at that. Anyway, I digress. The dogs are barking now. Apparently, I set them off by looking too much at my schedule here. Probably set. Now your dogs are probably barking too, I suppose. If you have dogs. If you don't have dogs, then you probably don't have to worry about that too much. But if you do, they're probably barking. No, they didn't change that. That's still the same. Yeah. All right. Well, anyway. So, as I was saying, the left has kind of turned on itself recently. And this is what even some of the friends I've been talking to have been kind of saying the same things. The left is they're eating their own at this point. When they start going after people like Joe Rogan, they've even gone after Bill Maher. I guess his name, Bill Maher. Used to have Politically Incorrect, show called Politically Incorrect. Used to have that show. Doesn't have that show anymore. Well, I think it's called something else. It's the same show, but it's called something else. Yeah. So what we have now, there's a lot of interesting stuff going on here in the news. And it's overwhelming sometimes when I try to just sit down and just chat about something that's like the big thing that's happening. There are so many things that could be considered big right now that it's so overwhelming. And that is exactly their plan. If you read the book Rules for Radicals, they are following that thing like their Bible, which it actually is. That the far leftists, you never hear them talk about moral standards based on Judaic principles. You will never hear them talk about that. In fact, my wife was just mentioning this the other day. She said something about it seems like the further we get from, we've taken God out of the schools, we've taken, they can't take God out of the school. I mean, it's not, don't get me wrong. She didn't mean it that way. It was the official acknowledgement of a creator. We used to, when I was a kid, I would walk 3 miles just to get to where the snow started so I could walk up the hill in 10 feet of snow. I had to carry my books to school back and forth each way, and the books were made out of rocks. It was 142 degrees, and it was also negative 142 degrees. All in the same day. Never canceled school. Crazy kids. So I would get to school, and we would, the first thing in the morning, we would say the Pledge of Allegiance. And the principal would say a prayer. And I didn't go to a Christian school, folks. This was public school. Now, I know a lot of Christian schools now still do this. There's one close to me here, about 2 miles away. I know that they do that. And there's a point. There is coming a point when this is going to be, you will end up in jail doing that in a public school. I do know of some public schools that are still offering Bible study classes. They do not publicize this at all. In fact, a school that I went to, that I attended, when I was a kid in grade school, they that same school system, we had a Bible class. And it was voluntary. You could either take Bible class or you could go to it was something else. I can't get you. They had an option to go to that, or it was like a study hall, study time or something, whatever it was. Or maybe it was a recess. I can't remember. It was something else. It was something extracurricular during the day. And you could volunteer. Your parents had to give permission, whatever, all that stuff. And then this was back in the 70s, early 70s. And then we had to, there was a Bible class after school. There was actually a club. And some of the teachers actually participated in that. I think it was once a week, I believe it was. So I think it was Tuesdays or something, or Tuesdays or Thursdays or something, after-school Bible club thing. And most of the school went. I mean, of course, it was kids from all the grades. You'd see kids from every grade level there. This was back in fifth and sixth grade. The junior high and senior high part of that school system was in a different building. And there were a couple different grade schools that came together to create and form the junior high senior high system. They now have a middle school that's separate. Now it's in another building. So the junior high isn't together with the senior high. But there is, believe it or not, still, I believe, there is still a Bible school option for kids to take. You can kind of have these things they call mods or modular school system. And it's hourly, and you can kind of mix and match your schedule. So the kids have, in the senior high department, you have many more options, I should say, to make your classes, set up your classes. And they actually have a Bible class you can take. It's an optional class. I don't believe it. I don't think you get any school credit for it. I don't think they can do that, because that would show up on paper somewhere, probably. And this is a public school. Still available. Pretty fascinating, actually. Pretty surprised me when I heard that it was still available. I did not realize it was still available. However, the radical left would have you run out of town on a rail if they found out about that. Their only mention of God would be like Nancy Pelosi's mention of her Catholicism. It's all for the children. It's for the children. She's got to run again for the children. She's not announced now that she's going to run again. And why? The children. The children. The children. The children. My children. I need more money for my children. We're not her children, okay? We're not your kids. And our children are not your children. And we're not expecting you to take care of our children. I'm more and more convinced every day. You know what? People are not inherently evil. They're not necessarily evil. It's kind of like people are not stupid. But stupid is as stupid does. And evil is as evil does. If your deeds are evil, people can choose between good and evil deeds. That's what we're allowed to do. We have that sovereignty. We have that ability to rule one way or the other in our lives, whether we choose good or evil. And many times, in fact, those areas are kind of gray. I'm not talking about situational ethics here. I'm just talking about sometimes our choices are left with choosing something that's really bad or choosing the not so bad, much like voting Democrat or Republican. We choose, you know, the lesser of the two evils, they say. I've heard arguments from people who don't vote. They'll say, well, if you're choosing the lesser of two evils, you're still choosing evil. So why are you voting? I'm like, because if I don't vote, then the greater of two evils is going to end up winning. What's the good of that? then you end up in a dictatorship. It's just stupid things like that. I know there's some people that don't vote for religious reasons. I don't get that either. I don't really follow that. I don't understand the theory there. If everyone did that in a utopian society, you would not have to vote. No, that's I agree. Yes, don't vote. I just don't understand the idea that someone doesn't vote because of separation of church and state, because they want to separate the church. I'm in the church, so I can't vote. You're in the church, so you can't vote. Out of, not because the church tells you you can't vote, but because you feel it's wrong for you to vote. Okay, so if, now, if that's just a personal choice that you believe God has told you not to vote, that's fine. If you think that the church in general, that that's a doctrine that should be followed, which most people, the way they live, they think that they're, most people think that they're living pretty much right, the right way to live. No, everybody thinks they kind of got their right religion. That's why they flock to one particular church. So they don't like, you know, agree with that. What's in at that church, they'll go somewhere else. Which I'm okay with that. I don't have a problem with that. However, because believe me, I've been in some churches where I've been committed to be there and disagree, and it is not a fun experience. At some point, you have to have a solace. You have to have a place of refuge. You have to have a place where you can go, where people agree to the most part what you believe in, and you can kind of be at peace there. You can let your guard down. You can be ministered to because you can trust the people you're talking to. There are some places that I've been where there's been some weird beliefs. I had an opportunity. I used to. I still do occasionally, I guess, but before COVID, I used to go around to a lot of different churches, quite a few different churches. I was kind of involved heavily in traveling around to different churches occasionally, and knew a lot of different pastors. And there were some that had some weird beliefs, and it wasn't always the pastors. Sometimes it was just their members. I would talk to some members once in a while who would believe some weird things about who Jesus was and different things. And that's the hill right there. That's the one that makes all the difference, who you say Jesus is, who you say Messiah is. In fact, Scripture basically makes it pretty clear and pretty plain that all judgment really revolves around what your decision is on that. And not just what you say, but the way you live according to that. I won't get into any deep theological stuff about that, but at least not at this point, at least not at this moment. Maybe before the end of the show, I might. So this stuff starts happening, and we have these leftists who will do anything. Because remember, the biggest creed they have is the end justifies the means, and they try to overwhelm the system. Let me get back to my original point here. So that they can control the narrative. If there's 20 stories out there that are huge, every one of them almost as big as the next, they can pick and choose the big story that they want to push in front of the narrative so that the others don't make a difference. They can cover up all the rest of them by picking the two or three stories that they want to talk about. And a lot of times the news media follows right along. It depends on, even the conservative media will follow right along with the whole narrative. They'll just be the anti-narrative. Now, if you know who is behind Fox News, I listen to Fox News quite often. I mean, there are some commentators on there I don't really care for, but there are some that are actually. I mean, Tucker lately has been kind of on fire about some things. He's been speaking some good things. Steve, what's his name? He's on the weekends. Steve Hilton. I can't remember what his name is. He's done a pretty good job of he's pretty much a free thinker. I don't always agree with him, but he's I like the fact that he'll kind of go after anybody, right or left, doesn't matter. And I appreciate that. I appreciate people holding everybody to account, not just toting water for one particular, you know, and creating the narrative and creating the backstory just for one political party. And there's a particular couple of individuals actually behind the company that owns Fox that I've recently discovered, or I guess I was been reminded, which kind of explains some things about the 2020 election. Now, I think that Fox took a huge hit after the 2020 election because of the way they responded to that whole thing. It surprised kind of everybody, kind of surprised everybody at that point. And I think that the powers that be behind the curtain, so to speak, have actually kind of... They're trying to get things kind of back to a normal and trying to make the establishment Republicans look a little bit more normal again, and hoping they're really kind of hoping, but people behind the scenes anyway are hoping that Trump doesn't come back. Now he's making more and more statements. He just recently had an interview on Epic Times, or the Epic Times, I believe, had an interview with him. And the more he's been doing these rallies again. And frankly, the statements he's making, he could just be rattling sabers. I don't know. He could just be trying to getting their heads to explode. Because every time he makes a statement about something, the left's heads explode. I think he just enjoys that. That's entertainment for him. I'm not sure. Oh, and you know what? I've gone this far into the show, halfway into the show, and haven't even talked about something that I think most of you probably are still, probably can't even relax yet, because you don't know what's in my cup. I have to tell you, there is a little something in my cup this morning. It's actually quite refreshing. Now, earlier today, I had some hot tea as I was listening to some videos. The regular stuff on Monday mornings, and I had some hot tea with sugar and honey, of course, and I also had a little bit of coconut oil in there. But at the moment, what I'm sitting down to here talking to you is I have this cup of sweet tea that I made over the weekend, homemade sweet tea, and it has a little bit of V8 splash. Now I don't know what happened here. Not sure what happened. But I went online because I was looking at Walmart the other day trying to find V8 Fusion. V8 Fusion is what I really like. I can drink that stuff straight. I usually put I'll get peach nectar and put it in with my V8 Fusion just because I like the peachier. I like a little bit peachier. So I'll get some real peach nectar and put that in with it. I'll usually mix that up. I can drink that all day long and not have a meal and still have energy and feel normal. I don't feel like over-sugared or under-sugared. I can actually just drink that stuff and... I don't lose energy. I feel like I've got enough energy to do. I don't feel like I'm hyped up on an energy drink. I just feel like I've got the right balance. Love that stuff. And I don't have to eat so much. But the problem with that this right now is, and I don't know what happened here. I don't know if this happened during the whole shutdown or lockdown or what it has to do with. You can still get V8 Splash, you know, the jugs, the bottles. What is it, 16? I think I talked about this last week. You can still get those for like $2.98 on the shelf. So it's like $3 or something. You can still get those all day long. You got those out there all day long. And they've got mango peach. Now, they got the V8 Fusion was peach mango. So I'm not sure what the difference in the term there is. Maybe there's more mango than peach. But in the peach mango... I really like that one in the V8 Fusion version. Now, this is V8 Splash. V8 Splash, I'm not sure. I think it's mostly just Kool-Aid with some kind of vitamins added. I don't think that it's actually like a real, I'm not sure how much real juice. Like there might be like 5% juice in it. Real juice. And I gotta say, I just use it for flavoring. I'll put a splash of Splash in my tea sometimes just to kind of give it that peach mango tea kind of flavor. But not so much that I feel like I'm drinking Splash because it tastes like Kool-Aid to me. It tastes cheap and it doesn't taste like I just don't get the feeling I'm drinking like something that's good for me. Not that I ever do, but it's different. It's different than the V8 Fusion. And so I went online thinking maybe it's just, you know, maybe everybody's just buying it out on the shelves like crazy. I mean, maybe I should buy, maybe I can find it online. So I went to the Walmart online thing. I went to Amazon. I did a straight shirt search on the V8 website. It looked everywhere. There's only one company right now offering V8 Fusion, and they're selling, even when you click on it from V8.com or whatever their website is. When you go to that website, they have a special page just for Fusion, just you know, their own little division just for Fusion. And I went there, and it takes you to their Amazon page, which then again takes you to a distributor that's the same distributor that you can get, the only distributor I can find. The price for a 4-pack is $85. $85. Free shipping, but that's $85. You can get a 4-pack of V8 Splash for $12. I'm trying to figure out what's wrong with this picture. I looked to see if the quantity, is it those 50-gallon drums? 450-gallon drums, maybe for $95. Or $85, whatever it was. One of them was, I think it was, the 4-pack was $85. I think you could get a 6-pack for $95, I believe it was. Now you're talking about, now we're talking bargain basement. We're talking dang near $20 a bottle. A little over $20 a bottle for this stuff. A little less than that if you buy the 6-pack. This seemed a little bit ridiculous to me. I guess there's got to be something wrong. In fact, I've read some of the comments. I was looking at the reviews going, what's happening with this stuff? So I was reading some of the reviews. One of the person's reviews said that this price has got to be wrong. You can buy it on the shelf all day long, off the shelf for like $3 or $4 or whatever it was. And I was like, yeah, this does seem wrong. So that's why I went to the source and thought, well, maybe I can buy this somewhere else. Well, no, you can't. You can't get V8 Fusion anywhere else. Anyway, enough about that. Now my dog is barking again. You probably hear the dog in the background because I have the door open here in the studio. He's up there barking, which means he wants something. Probably wants a snack. Probably needs to go out and go to the bathroom. But he's going to have to wait. Or I'm going to have to clean it up. One of the two. Whatever happens there. I can't help it. I'm here talking to you right now, and I can't change that. So all this stuff that's going on, you know, Joe Biden shows up in a town that 2 hours earlier, a bridge collapses, just happens to be talking about infrastructure, roads and bridges. They're crumbling. Here's the problem I have with this stuff, and this is what really bothers me all the time about this stuff. They make it sound, which is, am I just naive about this? That when they spend money to put in a bridge, that they have no budget whatsoever to maintain that bridge? Is there no budget to fix this stuff? Did we not realize that in 20 years we would have to do maintenance on this thing? Or that every year there was going to be inspections and we might have to fix something? It's just going to last forever. We'll let our grandkids take care of that when it starts falling down. Why are we still paying taxes And those things, where's that money going? Now, keep in mind, county, state, even city taxes, as well as taxes in your fuel that you pay for, and in some states, the license plates that you buy, registrations for your cars, among other things, and it, look, let me tell you, truckers pay huge amounts of tax for their rig licenses. They pay lots of taxes, and they pay taxes in their fuel. We all pay taxes in the fuel. No matter what state you buy from, there's taxes in the fuel. Federal tax, state tax, sales tax, whatever it might be. It's all hidden in the price of that fuel. They don't divvy those things out to you on your receipt, usually. They just like to include it in the tax, in the price. You can go across the state line and find out that there's like 30 cents or 40 cents difference in price in a gallon of gas. So where is all that money going? I thought that was supposed to provide funds for roads and bridges. By the way, they build a bridge, put the road on. So that's kind of part of that budget, should be part of that budget. And a lot of the roads we're talking about are not your county roads. They're not your state highways. Those are all things. Now, the federal government does help. They have programs where they, which is, I think, just like, it's like the mafia. They come in. I saw this at the airport all the time when I was back in the day, back in the 90s, when I was always at the airport. I would attend the little city airport board meetings, that was a sham as well, by the way. It was all theater. I might have to go to counseling again now if we think back this far. They would have these meetings. And now you got to keep in mind that there was the city airport sold fuel, and there was profit. The city got a flowage fee from the fuel that was pumped into the airplanes. They also had hangars there that people would rent. So they would lease those hangars out. There was quite the income coming in if they had a budget, they had a pretty good, decent budget. Well, if they wanted to improve or expand or do something with a runway or a taxiway, they would have to kind of budget those things in over the years. They had a plan for paying for those, the maintenance on things, for sealing the asphalt, for doing things, painting the lines, doing all kinds of things. They had a budget for all that stuff. And over the course of the years, there was a couple times where they had the opportunity to resurface the runway and or expand the runway. Now, the federal government once in a while would come around with grants. They were, you don't have to pay it back. They would drop money on you. But the deal was they would give you X amount of dollars. This is how much money is available to you at this airport. But you, the city, have to pay out this amount of money to get this amount of money. So you would have to pay out of your own pocket in order to get this amount of money. So they were stimulating or stealing from the companies. And here's what they want. This is the whole point of this was, again, political theater. But what they wanted to do was get the cities to expand something, an expansion project of some kind. Now, if you watch very closely, you would notice that some airports would qualify for more money than others. They would claim it was based on traffic. Well, you have 132,000 takeoffs and landings here every year. And therefore, you get more money than you have more money available to you from the federal government than this other little airport down here that really needs the money. But they could have 130,000 takeoffs and landings if they had the infrastructure, but they don't have the infrastructure. So therefore, we're going to give them a little bit less money. But they have to come up with this amount of money in order to make their this whole thing is wrapped up. When you see all these trillions of dollars flowing, this whole thing gives them this money that sloshes around out there in the economy. And whoever's in control gets to divvy out those things and make paybacks and gets it goes to organizations, non-government entities, NGOs, they call them, non-government organizations, that then spool that money and spend that money back into certain people's campaigns. Nancy Pelosi, for example, who's been in office for almost as long as I've been alive. And she, these things happen, folks. This money gets sloshing around out there, and they make favors. They pay big people back. This was the whole stimulus package thing after Bill Clinton got into office.
Well, we need a stimulus package to get stimulus back in the office. We need to really stimulate the economy. All the stimulation needs to happen now that I'm in office. And so he would, you know, that it was payoffs.
That did nothing for the economy. Nothing. $700 million is nothing with the GDP we had. It wouldn't last a day in our economy. All it does is pay people off, which is what they were looking for. This is what happens all the time. So now we have these trillions of dollars now that they started doing this. Now they're just drunk with that idea. Oh, we got roads and bridges. We got to have roads and bridges. Well, oh, gee, a bridge collapsed right today. I was talking about it. how convenient to make my point. Well, who was responsible for inspecting that bridge? Did we not even have the money to inspect the bridge? How does a bridge just collapse like that without anybody knowing it was in bad shape? This just seems outlandish to me that anybody would just, and they were reporting on it as if, oh, just 2 hours before the run. So all the legacy media picked it all up, lapped it up like a dog, and not like a lap dog. This is the way we operate things nowadays. Now, if you ever wonder, Kevin, are you suggesting that the government actually went in there and took down a bridge just to make so the president could make a speech? Huh? No, I would never say that. No. I hear the drones outside my window right now. I'm wearing my tinfoil hat, so they can't really tell what I'm thinking, but I'm pretty sure they're out there. Seeing the things I've seen over the last 10 years, 20 years even, and it's just been more escalating, I would not at all doubt that something happened. And in fact, someday we will probably find out. Some guy will, you know, maybe we'll find out that somebody was a part of that whole operation. I don't know. Stranger things have happened. Now, you look at what's going on, and I say all this basically to say this. So what I really want to talk about in the last 10 minutes, for those of you who have stuck around this long, listen to all my stories. I usually only bring up the really important stuff for the people who are willing to listen long enough. I want to talk about the truckers up in Ottawa. God bless them. I genuinely mean that. These people are absolutely amazing, what they're doing up there. The risk that they are taking in that country by doing what they're doing is probably just as great or far greater, maybe in some ways, as someone in doing a demonstration in China or Russia. And I mean that. The city councils now and some of the, you just listen to Trudeau himself, Justin Trudeau, the prime minister up there, whatever they call him, their feckless leader, who has COVID, by the way, and he was still, as he had COVID, he was telling everybody he had COVID, and he was really encouraging everybody to get their shots. But, you know, because that keeps you from getting it. And I know that's not what it does, but that's what they continue to make it sound that way. They kept that to keep that narrative going because that was the narrative they first sold us on. If you listen to Rachel Maddow, she was saying, if you get the shot, and there are still people who believe, I was just talking to a friend of mine last night, there are still people who believe that if everybody would have just gotten the vaccine to start with, this wouldn't have gone on any further. No, it doesn't happen that way. There are always going to be breakthrough cases. Even if it would have been a sterilizing vaccine, which means that it would have like kept you from getting it and kept you from spreading it, which it didn't. We were told that we were given the impression that it wouldn't. And some people were making that assumption and saying that it would. I don't know if Pfizer ever actually said it or not. I think that the efficacy rates that they were giving us of 90% were lies. They are doing everything they can to cover up the research data and the early reports. Everything they can in their power to keep it from coming out for 75 years. However, there are some people getting serious about this now. They are filing some serious lawsuits. And one of them is fraud. And fraud will not actually protect them against lawsuits. Liability lawsuits, that is. So this is going to unfold very interestingly here in the next few years. And all the issues that are coming up. Now, there's also a report. I don't want to scare anybody. I know this is a preliminary report. It has actually had peer review, or it's going through peer review right now. There's a fellow, well, first of all, Johns Hopkins. You've heard about Johns Hopkins study probably by now, that the shutdowns actually were less than 2% effective in slowing down any COVID deaths. And when we talk about deaths, we're talking, you know, COVID-related deaths. People dying from COVID, less than 2%. Now, the numbers, again, they're going by with numbers that they were given by the CDC and all those kinds of. John Campbell did a really good, he only said one thing I would disagree on with the whole thing. But he's always been really good with numbers. But he always kind of leans one particular direction with the whole vaccine thing. And I think he drew a conclusion that I think that the politicians are going to do. Now, Omicron, I keep jumping around like this, but Omicron. So someone talk about the truckers, but Omicron is actually much less deadly. I mean, we're going to see fewer deaths from over Omicron. Now, granted, that thing's sweeping through like a fire. So the hospitals will see an overwhelming case load. Unlike the regular flu, which kind of sweeps through the every you know, over the course of a season, a whole year, in terms of like a winter season, will sweep through the flu season for, you know, 3 or 4 months. Those deaths are all spread out over the course of 3 or 4 months. However, it affects old and young people much more. Now, Omicron will sweep through like a firestorm in very short period of time. It's going to be kind of an overwhelming thing. So the rates of infection are going to be extremely high. However, the rates of hospitalization are going to be extremely low. Now, they're saying that being vaccinated does not protect you from getting it or spreading it, Omicron, at all. And they realize this now, even though they're saying, well, you got to get a booster in order to, it doesn't, the things I'm hearing people quote from just off the cuff from some news organizations are not what the scientists are saying, not what the doctors are saying. There's one really good doctor report that was recently, American Thought Leaders did a review of this guy, and he's talking about how we've been shut off from the world in terms of reports on all the other studies that are going on all around the world that they're just not being reported on here in this country at all. It's like there's this shutout of what's happening. Some of the successes that some other countries have had, tremendous successes in treating COVID. Some countries, when you get COVID, they give you this kit. As soon as you're diagnosed with it, they give you a kit to treat you that gives you some therapeutics. In this country, they don't do that. We're not doing that in America. They don't even give you any instructions. Go home. Stay there if you until you go to the hospital. I'll put you on a ventilator. I mean, it's really we're running blind with this thing. If you talk about ivermectin, if you talk about hydroxychloroquine, anything, talk about anything, don't even take an aspirin. Don't take anything. Don't take a Tylenol. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen. Are we supposed to drink more fluids? Are we supposed to drink a specific amount of fluid for your body weight? Are we supposed to drink, or supposed to eat more? Are we supposed to drink high carbs, low carbs? Are we supposed to take vitamin C or D? Now that, even that is controversial. Oh, no, you can't have vitamin D. No, we're going to outlaw that. No zinc for you. And of course, this idea that there's any therapeutics out there. And there's reasons for this. There's reasons behind the scenes of why they can't have any therapeutics. But it comes back to Big Pharma again. What's going on there? And actually, Anthony Fauci's involvement with all that. It is, yeah, it's conspiratorial. Yes, it is. And there's nothing wrong with that, because when there is a conspiracy going on, yes, that's why it's conspiratorial, and it's not a conspiracy theory at this point. There's documents to show this stuff. It will, you know, people just don't want to report on because they'll get ostracized and kicked off social media. Oh, the horror. So we have this stuff going on, and Omicron is going to sweep through. However, we've already seen the drop now in cases nationwide. It's been it's always the 5% drop, and then it's like an exponential drop after that. This thing is going to be over with. Basically, the hospitals are going to be going, okay, I guess there's no more cases really very much by the end of February. In fact, I think before in the third week into February, be 2 weeks from now. Or is that 2 weeks? Yeah, almost 2 weeks. A little less than 2 weeks. We're going to see, basically, it's not going to be an issue. There are already countries who are a few weeks ahead of us in Europe that are dropping all the vaccination passports, mandates, all stuff's gone. There are places in other countries where they're literally dropping everything. Now, having said that, again, I will say this again. The politicians are going to step in. They are going to proclaim victory. Oh, we're the ones who stopped COVID. What do they want to say? They want to shut down the virus. We've shut down the virus. Joe Biden did it himself in his basement down there in the basement when he was snoozing away. He would get up and work in his lab down there, and he would figure out a way to do stuff. He did this whole thing. He masterminded at his direction. All these people did all these things at his direction. He's standing there directing everybody in the military and these strikes and stuff. In fact, I want to talk about that military strike. That's what I'm talking about at the very end, but I want to talk about the truckers first. My concern about this whole trucker movement right now, they know that they have to act fast to get as many more people vaccinated as they possibly can, because they know this thing's, they kind of have this feeling this thing could be over with. They got to get it over with. They got to make it look like they're the ones that did it. And the vaccine was the reason. See, the vaccines are working. And I'm actually hearing that from people now. Well, it's because of the vaccines. No, it's because this is the natural course of most viruses. And the Omicron virus is the end of this thing. The next strain is probably going to be even weaker and more contagious, but it's going to be more like a cold. They're saying most symptoms are like a mild cold. If you're vaccinated, well, you know, plenty of people who've had it, they weren't vaccinated, who barely even knew they had anything. However, okay, next point, the truckers. Here's my big concern about the truckers right now. And this is huge. In Canada, there has not been as much of a, how should I put it, a corrupt deep state effect there. However, they are on the verge of doing that. The things I'm hearing, I was listening into a city council meeting recently that was happening in Ottawa. They are claiming that these truckers are terrorists and unreasonable people. That they are, they were, then the things that they're accusing them of are just completely off the wall, completely outrageous. Pathetic. It's pathetic what they're accusing them of. So in the process of doing all that, to me, all of a sudden, I realized, I see where this is going. There was one little statement made where they said, we believe that there's been rumors of people or reports of people smuggling guns in for the truckers because they're insurrectionists. They're calling them insurrectionists. This word apparently plays well in the United States, so they're using that word up there now too. The truckers are insurrectionists. They don't want to change the government in Canada. They just want to change one thing, a stupid mandate thing. That's not an insurrection. That's a rebellion and a protest against a particular legislative process. Legislation, I should say, not even the process, just the legislation itself. And it's not even legislation. It's a mandate from one branch, from their prime minister. This whole thing, talk about a false flag. I was like, this sounds like something our FBI would do. Smuggle guns in there, give them to certain agents planted within the organization, within the group. I guarantee you, if this was a U.S. event, which there is an attempt now to make truckers in this country actually do the same thing. They tried to start a Facebook page, and Facebook shut them down, of course, because of QAnon, apparently. I don't know. QAnon is involved in this. So they had to shut that down. They just complained that somebody used the word Q in one of their posts. So it's obviously they believe in QAnon. We're going to shut the whole thing down. GoFundMe and their whole issue to their attempt to steal $10 million from the truckers didn't work out so well for them. Kind of exposed the way they are. They were going to keep the money and give it to other organizations instead of giving it back to the people who donated it. They shut them down. The truckers are not going to get that money. So they're finding other ways, which you have to be very careful with all those as well. However, to sum this all up, if they have an organization in Canada that can come in and what do they call them? When you have a plant on the other side, you have actors. They come in and pretend like they're part of the group. And they, in our country, apparently now the FBI, what the FBI does is they provide them with all the leadership they need to get them to do things. And they just kind of reluctantly go along with it. The whole thing, if you read the whole story, the report about what happened with the governor of Michigan, the whole kidnapping attempt and the Fed's involvement in that. They were dragging these guys into this thing. The Feds were making this whole thing happen, giving them all kinds of options, providing them with weapons. It's absolutely ridiculous. They really wanted nothing to do with it, and they still continued to drag them into it. Next thing you know, they're getting stung by the whole thing. It's ridiculous. So, interesting stuff. So, anyway, we have... My concern is that may happen in Canada. They may be infiltrated by nefarious actors that want to discredit them. It happened with the Michigan militia, actually. It happened up there with that. They were discredited very quickly by associating them with racists and white supremacists. And I think there was an FBI sting there as well. There was a deal where they came in and talked some guys into buying some guns, got them to this building. It's like four of these guys that wanted to buy some guns. And it was like a black market gun thing, trade deal. And I don't think they ever actually purchased the guns, but they just got them to this building where they were going to show them the guns. They arrested them. They were part of the Michigan militia and discredited the whole thing. All of a sudden, you didn't hear about the Michigan militia at all anymore. And this was back in the 90s. Probably, I think it was mid-90s, something like that. And this is the kind of operation that this is kind of, they're just, it's just their SOP. It's their standard operating procedure. It's the way they do it. They've gotten very good at it, by the way. And with all the cyber abilities they have now, it's even easier. And if you don't think it's going to get easier and easier for them, they're going to continue to use it with the Internet of Things, where everybody on the Internet can find out what you got in your refrigerator, how long your microwave is going to be on, what lights you have on in your room, how you turned them on, whether you were home or not when you turned them on. There's just, again, these are things that I'm going to be putting on my new show called something about the conspiracy. Not sure what it's going to be called yet. Probably going to be called The Conspiracy with a question mark, with a subtitle, Evidence of Things Unseen. So that's probably what it's going to be called. And I don't know that for a fact yet. It's just kind of what I'm toying with. Unless you guys have a better idea, it's going to be exposing some of the things that are happening. And we all know this stuff is happening. I was talking to a couple friends last night. We're talking about how Scripture tells us these things are going to happen. God has warned us. He's always provided a way for his people, for his remnant. I believe he will. I think we're going to see some rough times, possibly. The early church saw some heavy persecution. But they also saw the outpouring of his Spirit in ways that those people are going to be jealous of us for the things that we will see. That's kind of how Scripture says it. It doesn't say it quite that way, but they will look longingly in the latter days of what we will see. I believe we're entering into those days. We're certainly seeing the birth pangs. And the shot is not the mark of the beast, but the spirit of that thing certainly is. When you have people turning against others, persecuting others, telling people they can't even go to the grocery store unless they're vaccinated now. To me, that just seems like a very vicious spirit. And that's what we're seeing right now. So that's my story, folks, for the day. That's my Monday as we go into the rest of this. And Anyway, I need to get the audio of Joe saying that so I can kind of play it occasionally. My bumpers here. I haven't used my bumpers for a while. I need to start getting back. I don't remember what all of them are. I don't remember what all I've got in here. I got several. And all I have to do really is push on this little button, push this other button, and I find out I've got stuff like this. Oh, you can't already hear it because I've turned the music up. Oh, I got this. Here, let me just turn this off.
How dare you?
Stuff like that. You know, I get, what else is there here? I got a bunch of songs from there. No, guess I don't have anything else really to play. Really, I just don't have anything else. So it's kind of... That's all I've got. It's the best I got. Well, I got Nancy doing her thing.
Good morning. Sunday morning.
At that. That's there's something about that. Yeah. Anyway, so in the meantime, back to the music. So we've got a show coming up later. Well, probably a show tomorrow morning. Possibly a show, late night show tonight. There's possibly going to be a late night show tonight. Possibly live audio. Even more possibly, well, not more possibly, but also slightly, probably slightly less possible, is a live video, possibly, this evening, if I can get on Rumble. I've had issues with Rumble. I have to say, I've got issues anyway, but I got issues with Rumble. Not sure how well it's working, and not sure I'm going to do it. So I've got to get that all worked out. But that's Monday for you. Maybe we'll have another show. Maybe we won't. That's a 50-50 chance. Love you guys. God bless everybody. Have a wonderful weekend. Thanks for listening. Thanks for sharing, subscribing, all that stuff. Take care.